great to be back. It's great to see everybody, young and old, babies. And in the Philippines, they often talk about the young ones and the young ones. So there's more young ones here than young ones. And for me, it's always a joy to come back here because this is the spiritual heart of Anawim. It's the roots of our community, and the roots run deep here. And I'm always encouraged to, when I come here, to dig into those roots of our spirituality. Before looking at the readings, I'd just like to say a word about the Mass, because it's a little unusual to have a big crowd here on a Monday morning. And it can help us understand what we're doing here. My thoughts go back to my experience of the past week. I've been on the move a little bit, and so I've had experience of Mass in different places with different priests, which I don't usually do. In fact, for the last 2 years, I've been pretty much alone, and a lot of times just with three people or two people because of the lockdowns. But anyway, so last Saturday, I was with Father Charles down in Belvedere, New Jersey, and then on Sunday and Monday, I was with Father Rick in his parish in Califon. And then from Tuesday to yesterday, I was up at Mount Saviour. So it was an opportunity to join in the Mass without being the main celebrant and without doing any preaching. So I have a week's worth of thoughts to it. you better get comfortable, because no, I'm only joking. But the experience is a reminder, first of all, to the priest, but I think it should be for everybody, that the Mass is much more than the priest. It's not the priest's Mass. It's not Father Daniel's Mass. It's not the Mass of one priest or one place. It is an eternal sacrifice. It's Jesus offering himself to the Father. It's Jesus expressing his love to the Father and pouring out that love to us. And we're the body of Christ. So we are all exercising a priestly function as baptized people. We join in the Mass. The priest, of course, the ordained priest, is acting in the person of Christ. And you can't have a Mass without a priest. But God set it up that way. He wanted his own sacrifice to be made available to the world. So he chose priests to offer the Mass, and he wants people to join in the Mass. So this is just a good thing to keep in mind. What we're doing here is we're entering into an extraordinary, eternal, infinite mystery. We're not just going to Mass. We're not just going to see Father Daniel. We're just going to honor him. We're entering into something much bigger than we can fathom. Part of the reason why this comes to mind is because there's an expression I still hear in my work in the Philippines. People say, I heard Mass yesterday. That's not so common here, but that's the expression. I heard Mass yesterday. Oh yeah, I heard Mass last week. And it always strikes me as, well, you just heard the Mass, as if you know, you're listening to the radio. And then a lot of people nowadays, even here, are watching the Mass online. I'm watching the Mass. I watched the Mass yesterday online. And of course, it's good to participate in any way to a Mass, but that's not really what we're doing. We're not just hearing a Mass or watching a Mass. We are participating in the sacrifice of Christ. We're all part of it here as the body of Christ. So that's just a thought that came to mind as I was with different priests in different places, and the one eternal mystery is present in all those chapels and parishes and Masses. Although I have to say, it's very important for a community to have a Mass together. That's why I think it's important to have Mass here, because this represents the Anawim community, and the Anawim community has to also express its Catholic unity, its unity with the universal church. And every parish has to have a Mass. What's a parish without a Mass? That's the nature of Catholic life. The Mass is what unites us. The Eucharist is what unites us. So that's just a little preview, a little preface, I should say. Now, I'll take a look at the readings. I'll start with this experience I had yesterday. I was last day of my retreat at Mount Saviour. I walked up to the chapel there right before the Lauds, the morning prayer. And, they're quite strict about the wearing of the masks. And one of the brothers had very kindly given me a mask that has the strap around the back, because I happened to say earlier in the week that the mask he had given me was really tight and was like pulling my ears off. So he gave me this one with the strap around the back, which is better for me. Anyway, fumbling with that mask and with the straps and everything, I knocked my glasses off and they fell on the right at the step at the entrance to the church, and one of the lenses popped out. So I walked into the church with one one lens in and one lens out, one in my hand and one in the glasses frame. And I had this, as you maybe many of you have glasses, you know the experience of being able to see with one eye but not with the other eye. And I said, what is the Lord telling me here? I mean, at the end of my retreat, I'm at the peak of my spirit of my holiness or whatever. I'm purified and I have gone to confession and I've been praying with the monks for days. And all of a sudden, I can see and I can't see. So I've been reflecting on that. I think it's a truth that applies to all of us. We can. It's as if we can see well with one eye and as if we're practically blind with the other eye. And that's the situation, our situation in this world. If we look out of one eye, we can see the glory of God. We can see the power of God at work, his mercy. If we look out of the other eye, we see darkness and evil and dysfunction and suffering. And then I came down from the mountain, and I heard this news about that massacre in Buffalo yesterday. 10 people killed. You heard that. And that was right here in New York State. I said, man, talk about evil in the world. Here's some mentally disturbed young man with a violent white supremacist. He goes in and he just shoots innocent people in a grocery store. The grocery store?
Yeah.
I said, wow. And then I heard that in the afternoon. 10 people, 10 victims. Then on the Catholic news, yesterday in Rome, the Pope canonized 10 saints. Did you know that? There's 10 victims, 10 saints. What is this? I said, it depends on which eye you look out of. If you look out at the world with this bad eye, this eye affected by sin or in darkness, you see, gosh, evil people with evil intentions doing evil things. And the war in Ukraine is a good enough example, but there's many examples all over the place. And it can be very discouraging to see what a mess we're making of the world. But then you look at the lives of the saints and you say, my goodness, what extraordinary holiness, power. It's often hidden. You can't always see it. The saints, you don't even know they're saints until long after they're dead sometimes. But they're in the world. I mean, there are saints among us. There are people who are powerful instruments of God right in ordinary life. And which one is true? Are we in an evil world or a good world? Is it an ugly world or a beautiful world? It's both. It's a both. Okay, so that's the situation we're in. And now we reflect on these scriptures. Jesus is, at the Last Supper, revealing the depths of his relationship with the Father to the disciples. And the disciples, they have one eye open and one eye closed. I mean, they don't get it very well, but they get something. Jesus says, whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I'll open his eyes. Judas, not the Iscariot. So there's two Judases, just like there's two eyes. There's two Judases, one Iscariot, and then there's this one. And he asks a question which comes to all of us. What has happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? If you want to be known, Lord, why don't you just reveal yourself? Why don't you show yourself, your goodness, your power, your mercy, and, radiate glory on everybody, and then you won't have this evil reigning in the world? Why doesn't he do it like that? And we don't know why. And the answer of Jesus is very puzzling. He says, he doesn't answer it directly, but he says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. You say, well, but what about Judas's question about why you don't reveal yourself? And then if you think about it, you say, the way I'm going to reveal myself is by dwelling in you. The way I'm going to be present in the world is through you, Judas, not Iscariot, and all of you apostles and all of you who are believers. How is God revealing himself? Through his body, the church, through the believers, through those who are willing to do good and to sacrifice. through the 10 saints that were canonized yesterday. That was God revealing himself in the world. And they just lived in ordinary circumstances, but they came to extraordinary holiness. So God reveals himself through us. It's hard to see most of the time, but I say it's because our glasses are broken. And then he says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who makes it possible for us to be these instruments of God in the world, is, I'm going to send him to you, and he will teach you everything and remind you all that I told you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible for us to be the ambassadors, the representatives, the agents through which God reveals himself in the world. You say, okay, great. That's great. I mean, it's a little intimidating sometimes, but it's great to know that that's God's plan to work in the world through ordinary people like us. Then we get to the story of Paul and Barnabas in Iconium. The people want to stone them. They go to Lystra and they want to adore them as gods. So here's the representatives of Jesus Christ sent out in the power of the Spirit, and usually they get persecuted. Sometimes they get this exaggerated glorification. And you say, what is this? Well, it's because the world is in this confused condition of sometimes perceiving goodness and sometimes perceiving evil and getting it all mixed up. And these basically pagan people who believe in Zeus and Hermes, they think that Paul and Barnabas are gods. And so Paul and Barnabas say, wait a minute. That's exactly the kind of foolishness we're trying to save you from. Open your eyes to the truth. We are of the same nature as you, human beings. And this is true of every single person, every single priest and bishop and pope and everybody. We're all human beings. We're all just alike in the natural sense. But we proclaim to you good news. The good news does not come from us. It comes from Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. And it sets us free from all the confusion and disorder and exaggeration that we fall into. And so that's what Paul and Barnabas are insisting, and they can barely make the people accept it. But this is our situation. We go about our day, and most people will ignore us, so don't pay any attention to us at all. But those who hear us proclaim the good news or try to live the good news, some will reject that. And we know that's part of the Christian life. Some will reject the good news and will be the victims of it. Some will make a bigger deal out of us than is normal, right? And that sometimes happens. I mean, there's all kinds of exaggerations, and people get their presence known in the social media and they become superstars. Well, that's not it either. The great attitude comes from this psalm. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory. Isn't that a beautiful short expression of the attitude of an apostle, of someone who's entrusted with the good news, but is not full of himself? Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory. You're the one dwelling in us, and you deserve the glory. What we're doing here is for you. And that's what we're sent to do. We're sent out in the Spirit to be God's instruments, representatives, little ones. Tomorrow I'm going to visit the relics of St. Bernadette. I don't know if you heard this. The relics of St. Bernadette are going all around the country. Maybe she's not coming to Rochester. I don't know. Anyway, I heard this when I was still in the Philippines. The relics of St. Bernadette. I'm a big fan of St. Bernadette, by the way. She's the visionary at Lourdes. She saw Our Lady of Lourdes. Anyway, and she's a very humble little anonymous person. She takes no glory to herself. That's one of the reasons why she comes to mind. Anyway, she called herself a broom. She's just a broom. And when the Lord is finished sweeping with the broom, just puts it back in the closet. And that's what happened to her after she had this extraordinary vision of Our Lady and conveyed the message, Mary saying, I'm the Immaculate Conception. That was the end of her great moments. And she was put back in the closet. And she lived out the rest of her life in suffering and obscurity. Anyway, the relics are coming to the Diocese of Metuchen tomorrow. So it just happens that I was going to be in Metuchen when Bernadette or St. Bernadette will arrive. So that's why I'm going to be there. But she's an example to us of how this works. A complete nobody uneducated nobody can be a great instrument of God. So we don't have to make a lot of ourselves, but we have to put ourselves at the service of God. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory. Alleluia. Mm-hmm.